Wow, we're going to start by praying because I need it this morning. God, thank you so much for your faithfulness in everything, in every situation, every challenge we face. I thank you, God, that you are so big and so awesome and so powerful. I thank you that you are able. I thank you that you know everything, and I thank you that you love us. We pray, God, that you help us to focus on that no matter what we face throughout this day and throughout this week. Throughout our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, for our heart prep this week, we're talking about worry. And I have to say, my experience with worry is so vast. When I was a teenager, I felt like I was so worried and I'd obsess over stuff and I'd be like, oh, no one knows what I'm going through. No one understands. I'm so alone. Then I got to college. And then I was like, oh my goodness, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody understands. And then I got married. And then I had children. Worry is a part of everyone's life. And Jesus gives some very specific instructions on worry. And we're going to be looking at that today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 6. Verse 25, we're going to be starting there. It's interesting, when you start to look at the instructions that Jesus gives us, they're not just meant for spiritual development. They actually have a holistic approach to our health. It's for spiritual health, it's for emotional health, and it's also for physical health. I was looking up the side effects of stress on our physical body, and I hope I don't make you worry about worry, but I'm going to list these things off. It starts to weaken the immune system, making you more likely to have colds or other infections, can increase high blood pressure, upset your stomach, give you ulcers, acid reflux, all this fun stuff, can increase anxiety, increase rapid heartbeat and heart palpitations, panic attacks, cardiovascular problems, increase in blood sugar levels, irritable bowel syndrome, backaches, tension headaches or migraines, sleep problems, chronic fatigue syndrome, respiratory problems and heavy breathing, worsening of skin conditions such as eczema. But even more than our physical body, I have to say the worst things that worry does to you, they erode your peace, they steal your joy, they handcuff your freedom, and your love is undermined. When you think about your relationships with people, as soon as you start to worry, those relationships are undermined. You start to question different things. When you think about worry, your peace starts to disappear, your joy evaporates, and you no longer live in the freedom that God intended you to live in. Worry is an act of giving in to the challenges or stresses that we face, but it's also a state, a place where we set up camp. And as believers, if we truly have decided to follow Christ, we have to be taking steps to ensure that's not a place we set up camp. Worry is not a place we're supposed to be living our lives from. Jesus says this in verse 25 and following. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Just before this, Jesus was talking about storing up your treasures in heaven, that where you invest, what you make a priority, that's where your heart will be. So if you're investing in things that are of this earth, things that are of this world, instead of investing in your relationship with God, then your investment is in temporal things. It's going to be on a shaky foundation. And then he moves into this idea of worry. It's kind of neat. When I read this in the Jesus Storybook Bible with the kids, he says, the way that they write it is, look at the birds. Do you see them going around with shopping carts? loading up their shopping carts and putting it in cupboards and storing it away? Do you see the flowers going shopping for clothes? You see them trying to find fancy robes to put on? He says, no, God has robed these flowers with much more splendor than even Solomon in all his glory. And it's this reminder that God cares for the little things. Why on earth would he not care for us? It continues, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Therefore, don't worry. If I'm seeking God's kingdom, my priorities, my actions, they'll be altered. When we seek God's kingdom first, our mind is set on him. He is our priority. He is our focus. And when we fix our minds on Christ, the things that concern us, they don't disappear, but our worry is overcome with his peace. What I do know about God's kingdom is that he is in control, and I can count on that. I also know that he will see it through, and he will accomplish his plans. I also believe that there is nothing he is not fully aware of. He knows and understands everything, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us and cares for us. When we worry, when we decide to focus on our worries, it's almost, sometimes I think it's like revisiting the Garden of Eden. A lot of times we look at Adam and Eve and we criticize them, like, how could you have given in to the temptation of biting that one fruit, the one thing God told you not to do? But when you start to think about it, they start to question God. They start to question whether or not he really wanted the best for them, if he really knew what was best for them. And ultimately, they gave in to that temptation. There is a temptation to worry, to question whether or not God truly loves us. He does, without a question. There's a temptation to worry whether or not God truly knows what's best for us. And the reality is, he does. He knows what's best for us, even more so than we can even imagine ourselves. So the questions really come down to this when we worry. Do we believe he is able? Do we believe he is wise? And do we believe he loves us? Focusing on God is not a gimmick. It's not like, you know, serenity now, serenity now. I just need to say the right words and everything will be okay. It's not a gimmick. The closer you draw to God, the more you focus on him, other things fade away. I was thinking about it when I was driving to the church today, and I was thinking about shadows and light. And worries are like shadows. The only way to see your shadow is to turn away from the light. When you turn away from the light, what you see is the darkness. But when you turn and face the light, the shadows disappear. So how do we fight worry? Because worry is real. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. And just because you're a Christian, you're not going to experience challenges and you're not going to get stressed out and you're not going to worry. That's going to happen. But what we need to know as believers is, how do we approach that? How do we deal with that? We're going to look at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8, just for a little bit of instruction. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The first part of this instruction is to rejoice. And not just to rejoice, but again, I say rejoice. When Paul writes it, he writes it twice for emphasis. And you have to understand that when Paul wrote this, he had been in prison for 4 years. He wasn't just having a happy, good old time. Oh, don't worry, rejoice, rejoice again. He was in prison, but his focus was on God. That rejoicing is a commemoration or an honoring of what God has already done. It doesn't mean you throw a party every time something goes wrong. It means that when things start to become difficult, when worries start to overcome you, you start to focus on God and what he has already done in your life. All the times he's come through before. I was talking to my daughter about this week because she was starting to feel stressed out about something. I said, this is what we do. You need to start focusing on how God has been faithful to us in the past. And if you have a difficult time remembering how God has been faithful to you in the past, talk to someone else so that they can tell you about how God has been faithful to them in the past. If you have a difficult time doing that, read your Bible and read about all the times God was faithful to people over and over and over and over and over again in his word. It's so important that we don't set up camp in that worry, in that stress, in that challenge, but that we deliberately choose to obey and rejoice, especially when we're in difficult circumstances. It has to do with our attitude, which depends on our mental focus, which depends on our choice. The choice to rejoice often must go deliberately against how we feel. When we go through trials, when we're treated unfairly, when we're disappointed by people or circumstances, we are faced with a decision. Will we obey this command to rejoice in the Lord, or will we allow ourselves to be swept along by our feelings? It's focusing on God's kingdom versus focusing on the world. One is permanent and eternal, and one is temporary and fleeting. And this isn't something that just happens automatically. It was interesting, a couple of weeks ago, Mark, I got to hear him preach about controlling our thoughts. And how thoughts become action, action becomes habit, and habit becomes character. I do not want to be a worrier. I don't want to be that person who's constantly unsettled and doesn't know peace and who's afraid to take a step in one direction or the other. I want to be a person who is at peace, someone who trusts God, but it takes discipline, it takes practice. It's not something that automatically happens. It's a retraining of your brain, a retraining of your heart and your soul. Thoughts become action, actions become habit, and habit becomes character. And the choice to rejoice, even when we're worried or stressed, is significant. I love music. When I listen to the radio, I love turning up the volume, and I'm one of those crazy people you see sitting next to you at the stoplight who's having a little seat party, and I'm telling my kids, sing louder, and it's crazy, and my kids think I'm nuts. But I have to say, when I am stressed, the songs that have the most impact on me are not the ones that are zippy and poppy and whatever. I love those, don't get me wrong. Mark's like, yeah, if you swing your hips a bit. And I'm like, like this. But those are not the songs that have the greatest impact on me. The songs that have the greatest impact on me have titles like, Yet I Will Praise, Even If I Will Praise You in This Storm and Be Magnified, O Lord. This is not an act of putting on a mask and pretending everything is okay. It is a conscious decision to praise and to rejoice in the middle of your feelings of worry and anxiety. When I start to worry, I need to shift my focus from circumstances and things beyond my control to my God, who is in control of everything. Paul continues and he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Just pray. Pray about everything. Pray about anything. I lose my keys. I have changed my habit from freaking out, tearing apart my house, to seriously, the first thing I do is, oh, God. I know this is because I'm just a scatterbrain. I know I should put them in the same place all the time. But God, please help me find my keys. I remember one trip we took up to Quesnel with a ministry team to do a VBS up there. One of the people who was on our team lost their wallet. Their wallet with all their ID, and he was one of our drivers, all his ID and $200 inside it. Now, Quesnel is a small town, but I'm telling you, a wallet full of $200 and a bunch of ID, it's not really something you want to lose. He looked everywhere. He retraced his steps wherever he had gone, and he came back to the house, and I said, well, have you prayed about it yet? Which at the time, I have to say, was pretty good for me. I would have been normally stressed out about something like that. And I just turned to him and said, have you prayed about it yet? And he goes, actually, no. And I said, let's pray about it. And we prayed. And I kid you not, he went into the RCMP office as a last-ditch effort, got there, someone had turned in the wallet with the $200 and all his ID inside. It's pretty incredible. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Focus your mind on God and his word. Listen for God to speak and to teach you through the unexpected. The reality is we are going to face challenges. We are going to have stresses. We are going to be afraid. Things happen. That's what this life is. But the biggest thing that we need to remember is those small truths, like having trouble at work, having trouble with your kids, having trouble making ends meet. Those are little truths. They're real. There's no denying that those challenges, those stresses happen. But when they do, we have to face them with big truths. We need to look at them compared to big truths like this. I don't have the resources. Yeah, but God, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm afraid to do this. Yeah, but God is with you. You're not alone. I'm so hurt and so broken. But God, he is a healer. I am weak. Yeah, but he is strong. I just don't think I can. It's impossible. Yeah, but he's the God of making the impossible possible. I have failed. Yeah, but you're forgiven. Jesus is the king of new beginnings and fresh starts. I feel trapped. Yeah, but he comes to set the captives free. I'm unworthy. But God, the God who created the universe, loves you. Without limit or qualification, you are lovely because he loves you. And you have value because to him you're priceless. As we explore this idea of heart prep leading up to the celebration of Easter, we have at our disposal the most powerful weapon against worry. Any worry we have will be defeated when you allow the big truths of the cross and the resurrection to reverberate in your heart. If you have decided to follow Jesus, remember, Jesus is God with us. He is with you always. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. Eternal hope is yours. This world is temporary, but your future is secure. You're worried about your value and your worth. but God made him small, giving up the advantages of deity to rescue you. And the reason? He loves you. Dive deep into God's word. You have worries? Dive deep into God's word. Let his word reverberate in your heart, soak in it, because it will bring life to you when you're weary, when you're worried, when you're worn out. He will breathe life into you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When you start to worry, focus on the big truth. I believe God is able. I believe God is wise, and I know God loves me. Rest in that. Be at peace. Worries are like shadows. And the more you turn and face the sun, the less you'll see of the shadows. I'm going to close by reading a passage of scripture I have posted on my fridge. And I read it yesterday because I was a little uneasy about sharing today, which I haven't experienced for a long time. So it was a little unfamiliar. But I had printed this off a few weeks ago just to have posted even for my kids to read, for myself to read, just to have it right there forefront whenever we needed it. And this is what it says. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world just to get you back. I trade all of creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll round up all your scattered children and pull them from the east and from the west, and I'll send orders to the north and to the south. This is a promise that God gave to Israel, but it's also a promise that he gives to each one of us who know him. We don't have to give in to our worry. We don't have to let them overwhelm us. We don't have to set up camp there. God is able, God is wise, and he loves us. God, I thank you so much that we can trust in you. We can trust in your goodness. But God, our hearts are weak. Our hearts are frail. And we stumble. So God, help us to focus on you. Draw our eyes to your glory and to your goodness, to your faithfulness, but most of all to your love. God, help us to remember who you are. Help us to remember all of the times you've come through for us. And as we approach Easter, God, I pray that it would mean more to us now than it ever has. God, that the power of the cross would be so evident and powerful in our own lives. God, help us to seek you with our whole hearts. Help us to seek your kingdom. Strengthen us, and please give us peace. In your name we pray. Amen.